I'm the Gypsy, and you're not, and this is the Rubber Biscuit Road Show, presented by Artist Alley Studio, featuring the artisan, handcrafted, and branded creations of the Gypsy and Mad Hatter at www.artistalleystudio.com. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the Rubber Biscuit Road Show. I am your host, the Gypsy, and this is episode 22. I was trying to think of a good thing to call this episode, and I think a great title for it would be Everything Comes Out Okay in the End. Now, by the time you hear this episode, I will probably be laying on an operating table with a camera shoved up, well, you know where. I'm going in tomorrow morning, or rather, as you hear this, it'll be this morning, for a colonoscopy. You have to have one of these when you reach my age, about every 5 years or so. And especially for me, because the very first time I had a colonoscopy, they found polyps. So, of course, they always want to check this out. Now, back in December, I almost died. I ended up with a blockage of the small intestine, and I was in the hospital for a couple of days. Wow, that all got cleared up. Almost went underneath the knife to get it cleared up. Thank God that didn't happen. But they became concerned, and so they upped my colonoscopy by just a little bit. I mean, I was supposed to have one the end of March this year, but they went ahead and they kind of pushed it to the first part of March just to make sure everything's okay up in there, and hopefully everything is okay up in there. And if it isn't okay, hopefully it's stuff that can be addressed immediately. I will tell you that if you are listening to this and you are a man over the age of 50, don't hesitate to get that colonoscopy done. It could possibly save your life. Now, I'm not really looking forward to this, to be honest with you. I mean, I've been on a liquid diet for the past couple of days, and it's just nasty, and you got to take Ducalax, and you got to take Miralax, and there's just all sorts of things you have to do to get ready for this. You have to be totally cleaned out inside. And trust me, it's not pleasant getting cleaned out inside. But if they find something, you know, in there that they can take care of, then it's, you know, worth it. Even if they don't find something, at least you have the assurance that everything is okay. You know, that there's nothing to worry about, at least for another 5 years. But that isn't the worst of it. See, about 5 years ago, around the same time I had my last colonoscopy, they discovered some blood in my urine, so they decided that they were going to go in and take a look and see what was going on. Well, I went to surgery, and they inserted a camera up through my penis and in my bladder to see if there was anything going on in there, and they found a lesion. And they went in and they cut out the lesion. Well, I ended up with a blood clot. Thought my bladder was going to burst. It was horrible, one of the most horrible experiences of my life. I really honestly never want to have to go through that again. But now, a week from Wednesday, I have to go in for an in-office procedure. This time they're not looking to cut anything out. They're just going to take a scope and put it up my penis. They said it's like a catheter, and they're going to take a look inside my bladder, and I guess I'm going to be able to see it at the same time. They're going to have it up on a television monitor. This ought to be real interesting. They had noticed during my stay in the hospital back in December when they did a CAT scan on me that there might be some thickening of the bladder. So they just want to go in and see what's going on and make sure, you know, that there isn't a chance for bladder cancer. Also, they had, in a urine test, had discovered a trace amount of blood in there. So they want to make sure there's not another lesion. If there is, I'll have to go in for surgery and have the lesion removed. And hopefully I don't end up with another another blood clot, because that's the last thing I want to happen. I know I'm just all full of all sorts of pleasantness today, but when you get to be my age, I'm 65 years old, when you get to be my age, these are things that you have to expect. These are things you have to deal with. The other thing I'm dealing with right now is my wife, Rachel, just found out that she has stage 2 breast cancer. Now, she's what they call a triple negative. I guess it's pretty rare. They can't go in and they can't operate because it just spread. They also, there are certain treatments that they can't use on her because she's a triple negative. So there's other treatments they're going to have to use, chemicals that they're going to have to inject into her about every 2 weeks to try to kill the cancer and shrink and let the body absorb it. They're going to do this for about 2 months. If something happens that the cancer don't go away in 2 months, then they will start chemotherapy on her. I'm really, really hoping that they don't have to start the chemotherapy, because I know it'd be pretty hard on her, and I don't want to see her have to go through that. I also really, really hope that they can get this cleared up. They told her she had a 60-70% survival chance rate. You know, that's better than a 40-30% survival chance rate. So we're going to take that. We're going to take the 70%. I'm going to be on the upside about this. Thing about this type of cancer that she has, though, is even if they get rid of it now, it could come back at a later date. And she'll have to go through the whole thing again. Now, we're going to pray to God above that, you know, it never comes back again. We're also praying that she heals up just fine, you know. And if you have a relationship with God, your prayers would sure be welcome for her. I mean, I would greatly appreciate it. I mean, I wouldn't mind some prayers for myself either, but I'm mostly worried about her. So please pray for her that that they're able to heal this cancer, if you don't mind. Like I said, I'm just full of all sorts of good news today. But, you know, these are things that, you know, use a podcast to talk about and get off your mind. I know when I was growing up, I saw a lot of different things medical-wise with relatives. You know, some of them concerned me. My grandmother had asthma. The asthma eventually was what did her in, unfortunately. And I knew that my grandfather, he was born with a club foot. He had gotten radiation poisoning from an X-ray machine during World War I out in an army field. He was a dentist, and unfortunately is in the history books as the first dentist to get radiation poisoning from an X-ray machine. Isn't that fun? My mother, she was a hypochondriac, so she had every single ailment known to man. You never knew whether it was real or whether it wasn't. Her doctors were oh so generous, and just any time she complained about something, they just gave her a pill for it. You know, that was really nice of them. You know, but when you're young and you see different things like that, health issue-wise, you don't think much about it. I mean, my Aunt Harriet, she contracted cancer of the lymph nodes, and they amputated her arm, and about 10 days after they amputated her arm, she passed away anyway. That's an amazing story. I'm going to relate that to you real quick. So, my Aunt Harriet, big woman, wonderful woman, she developed this cancer of the lymph nodes in one of her arms, and they told her the arm had to be amputated. Aunt Harriet said that she had come into this world with both arms, and she was going to leave this world with both arms. Well, her daughter decided that she wasn't competent enough to make her own decisions, and she went to court, became her guardian, and took over custody of all her property and also of her care, and put her into the hospital to have this amputation take place. So they amputated her arm, and she went into a convalescent home. And I guess it was, to my understanding, about 10 days out of surgery, the nurse came in to bring my Aunt Harriet her lunch, and she hadn't been out of bed since the surgery. Aunt Harriet stood up, looked at the nurse, said goodbye, and dropped over dead. Now, Aunt Harriet said she had come into this world with both arms and she'd leave with both arms. Unfortunately, she didn't leave with both arms, but my Aunt Harriet was not going to stay in this world without both of her arms. She was a very strong woman. She was a very much beloved woman, too, as I later found out. Years later, I'm going through Rochester Cemetery and I'm looking for Aunt Harriet's grave. I should know where it is, but I can't seem to find it anywhere. Well, the sexton of the cemetery happened to be out there that day, and she walks up to me and she says, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yes, I'm looking for my aunt's grave." She says, "Well, what's her name? And I'll go look it up in the office." I said, "Her name's Harriet Wickman." She said, "Oh, Harriet, she's right over here." And she walks me over to where my Aunt Harriet is. I said, "Do you know everybody's grave in the cemetery?" She says, "No, I just remember the special ones." She said, "Your Aunt Harriet not only had the biggest coffin that I have ever seen in my entire life, she also had one of the biggest funerals that we have ever had here at the cemetery." She said there were cars backed up out on Rochester Road. They had to bring in the police to direct traffic. She says there wasn't enough parking room hardly in the cemetery for all the people that showed for her funeral. She says, "Now, let me show you something. If you look closely at the ground, you can see the outline of the grave." And she proceeded to walk the outline. And once she walked it, I could see it, and she was correct. That was a big grave. But, of course, when you consider my Aunt Harriet was 6'4" or 6'5" and probably weighed close to 300 pounds at the time that she passed away, yes, it was a big coffin. And it apparently was a big funeral. People loved my Aunt Harriet. When we pass from this world, we can only hope that we have that many people that care about us, you know. And it's always a nice thing to know that people do care about us. But what's even better is why we're in this world, having people that care about us. When you have people that care about you, it makes life worth living. If you have no one that cares about you, not that life isn't worth living, but maybe it's time for you to go out and start caring about others so that they'll care about you. See, my philosophy has always been, when you care about someone, they'll care about you also. Okay? And some of you are going to argue with me and say, "Well, that's not always true." The rare cases, it's not always true. But I'm telling you right now, the way we are as human beings, when we care about others, others are going to care about us. You know, some people that we care about, they may not care about us, but they're not the only people in the world. There's all sorts of people in the world, all sorts of people that are going to care about us. So if you're that type of person that's by yourself and you think no one cares about you, trust me on this. You're not trying hard enough to care about others, because I'm telling you, and it's true, once you care about others, they're going to care about you. I did a tattoo in the studio the other day, and the guy did it in remembrance of his mother. And what I did was I did an hourglass on him that had like tree roots growing up around the outside of it. And inside the hourglass, at the top of it was an upside-down tree with no leaves, and at the bottom was a tree with all its leaves on it. And it had a wolf head coming out from behind it. And down at the bottom, there was a banner. Matthew 12:7. Now, if you are not familiar with Matthew 12:7, you will be here in a second. Matthew 12:7 is, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." In other words, how you treat your brother is how your brother is going to treat you. It's the golden rule. We've all heard it. We all know it. Well, that's the same thing with relationships. If you want others to care about you, you have got to care about them. Do unto them as you would have them do unto you. So, I'm just going to tell you, if you're by yourself and you think no one cares about you, go out there today and start caring for others. How do you care for others? Well, there's a million and one way to care for others. You can volunteer your time. See, I can't talk today. You can volunteer your time at different community organizations, whether it's like Harvesters helping hand out food, or whether you donate time at a nursing home as a volunteer to help out there, or volunteer at the zoo as a zoo docent, you know, and not only get to know the animals, but get to know people that come through there. Volunteer as a student teacher advisor. I mean, I could go on and on. Volunteer at a hospital. There's 1,001 ways to volunteer. Volunteer at your church. If you go to church, do something, volunteer at the church. But get out there. Get to know people. Get to care about people. And I promise you that the minute that you care about people, they're going to care about you too. And then you won't be alone in the world. You will not be alone in the world. None of us are alone in the world. All of us have someone that cares about us. Whether we realize it or not, there is someone that cares about us. And if you don't know who that is, then you're not working hard enough to find out, and you really need to find out. So, getting back to what's going to happen to me tomorrow, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous, a little scared. Anyone would be, you know. I don't like being put under. It's one thing to fall asleep in my bed and wake up in the morning, but to have someone forcibly put me under, I've never cared much for it. It scares me. It really does scare me, and I pray pretty hard before it happens. You know, worst case scenario, I'll never wake up. Best case scenario is I wake up in heaven, you know. Honestly, I do want to get to heaven someday, but there's still things on this earth that I really hope God lets me finish and complete before that time comes. So the best case scenario for me is to go to sleep and then wake up in the recovery room and be told that they found nothing inside, or maybe they found some polyps and they cut them out and everything's hunky-dory, and go home and eat a hearty breakfast and have a nice life until 5 years from now. That's the best case scenario for me. Next Wednesday, the best case scenario is I'm uncomfortable for a minute while they put that camera up through my penis to look inside my bladder. They look around and go, hey, everything's A-okay in here. You know, congratulations. You know, if you have any more problems, come back and see us. But until that time, hey, go have a nice life. You know, we never know what's going to happen. The only one that knows what's going to happen is God. You know, our Maker knows everything that's going to happen with us. And I do, however, believe strongly in the power of prayer. If we don't ask, we don't receive. It says it in the Bible, ask and you shall receive. Well, I'm asking and I hope I receive. I still want plenty more years on this earth, not only to accomplish things that I'm really wanting to accomplish, but also to continue to love all those people here that love me. I hope I can love them back. I have some personal relationship fences that I really need to mend, and I hope I have the time to do that. There's, you know, just be honest, be forthright here. There's some issues with my children, and I have been working at least with one of them on those issues. I'd like to work with the others on the issues if they'd let me. One of them, I guess, really don't want to work with me on an issue. There's another one that's indifferent as to whether, you know, he works with me on our issues. He thinks I abandoned him, which I didn't do, but he made a comment to me here not too long ago that I'm his forever grudge, yet I really honestly never did nothing to earn that status. So maybe someday, maybe the Lord will touch his heart and unharden it, and we can talk and work out our issues, and he'll be willing to hear what the truth of the matter is and not the version that he's either been told or that he's made up in his head, you know. I got another son that's just completely disappeared off the face of the earth. I have no idea where he is. I've been trying to get a hold of him, and he's not responding back to me. I got another son that I'm lucky if I have any contact with him once a year, and when I do, he kind of acts like I'm bothering him, so I'm just really hesitant to even had contact with him. I don't know what's going on with that one. I've been making progress with my daughter. I was an ass a few years ago, and I think I'm making a little progress with my granddaughter, who I was an ass to, and hopefully, you know, forgiveness is there, and we can work on our issues. I got another son that thinks that I told him something in a way that I did not tell him, and that I acted in a way that I did not act, and even though he's been told by witnesses that none of that happened, he still has chosen to believe what his little 9-year-old mind at the time made up. So I don't know if I ever get through to him. I hope I do, but I'm not saying this to get you feel sorry for me with the issues that I have with my children. I'm telling you this so that you know that I do love my children and that I do still want the time on this earth to remake that connection with my children and to mend whatever fences are broken there, because I honestly, out of all the things I want to accomplish in this world before I leave, the biggest thing I want to accomplish is knowing that whatever problems I had with my children, that we were able to work them out and that we were able to forgive each other and that we're able to love each other. Because to me, more than anything else in this world, that's the most important thing of all. I love my children, whether they know it or not, or whether they're willing to accept that or not. I do love my children, but we need to talk. And I pray that God will give me the time that I need to talk and I need to work out these issues. So now that you've heard, you know, my sob story here about my relationship with my children and my sad story about how I'm going to get a camera shoved up my butt tomorrow and my sad story about how I'm going to get a camera shoved up my penis next Wednesday, I don't know what else I can say on this episode. Yeah, I do know what I can say. I'm going to ask you one more time. Please pray for my wife, Rachel. She needs your prayers right now. She needs your prayers not only for her healing, but also for her strength. Because as strong as she is, there's areas where she's weak. And she needs, desperately needs, those prayers for strength. Well, I tell you what, I've rambled here long enough for this episode. Think about me tomorrow. Think about me next Wednesday. I'll probably have another podcast where I go in next Wednesday. And we'll talk about something a little more pleasant than cameras going in places where you really wouldn't want cameras to go, and cancers developing in places where you don't want cancers to grow, and relationships breaking apart that you really don't want to break apart. But the most important thing is, if you got a relationship that needs mending, work on mending it. If you don't think that anyone cares about you, work on caring for others so that they'll care about you. But until next time, when who knows what we're going to talk about, it'll be some more randomness. This is your friendly neighborhood gypsy saying, may God bless and keep you and yours. Later, Gators. Bye-bye now. Visit the Rubber Biscuit Roadshow online at www.rubberbiscuit.com. That's www.rubberbiscuit.com. The Rubber Biscuit Roadshow is produced by Tatman Productions, LLC. All parts of this program are copyrighted, all rights reserved. No parts may be published, reproduced, or used without the written express permission of Tatman Productions, LLC.